Morning, everyone. How are you all doing? Good. So good to be in the house of the Lord, and so good to be in my home as well. Sometimes I feel like when I walk inside, it's a gush of welcome. Makes you feel like you are home. It's so good to. And then thank you, Pastor John, Pastor Paul, for giving this opportunity. Today, we're just going to talk about persistence in hopelessness. Ooh. Hopelessness. And then how can you be persistent in your hopelessness? Is there something called persistence in hopelessness at the first place? There is. Say, for example, I was just going through my own life cycle, a time when I had struggled with understanding why God was doing what he was doing. Why is there a delay when I needed it the most? Why can't you do it today? Why tomorrow? Can't you see I'm struggling today? Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? Then why you got everything stored up for tomorrow? Why can't you do it today? So I've got all these questions in my mind, and sometimes I struggle. Being carnal, yes, this is not oblivious to pastors, I believe. Pastor Paul would agree to some extent. Pastor John, he may not agree because he's pretty good at it, persistence. But look, I'm not that great. I'm carnal to a certain extent. I'm still human. And I think, looking at my own pay scale, looking at my own finances, there was a situation when Nathan's brother was born, Jonathan. You know, I've been blessed with a second baby last year. So what happened is my wife, she was supposed to get a 12 months pay on a parental leave. But what happened is she worked only for 11 weeks and 11 months, 3 weeks. One more week, she would have hit the requirement that she had to be permanent for at least 1 year to get that 12 months of, you know, parental leave pay, full pay. That's not fair. I said the same thing to God. I knelt down and said, God, this is not fair. And you know what happened? God doesn't respond the way that I want him to respond sometimes. That really ticks me and annoys me. And I said, God, why don't you respond the way I want you to respond? I'm like, God, nah, I don't work that way. You got to work with me. You know, he tells me, all right, mate, you do not understand. If I completely reveal my whole plan to you, you will not be able to hold it. Because you are happy when the graph's going up, and you're happy to a certain extent when it's going steady. You're not that happy when you know that your graph is going to go down. If God tells you beforehand that if your graph's going to go down, what's going to happen? For me, at that moment, in that instant, I may not be a big fan of Jesus anymore. I'm like, Jesus, can I not be a fan of you for some time? Yeah, there you go. So the thing is, I'm not going to preach not to be a fan of Jesus. We are all fans of Jesus here. But what I'm going to teach and preach today, and what we're going to discuss, is one particular event and one particular story. All right, let me finish my story first. What happened to me is I was waiting for this income to come through, and halfway through, Centrelink said, oh, we will meet only halfway through. I've got 6 months, sorry. Centrelink, and they paid around about 3 months. And then we wanted them to distribute that equally over the period of 6 months. So it just, some sort of income flows. It's nowhere near to what Pallavi usually earns. Pallavi is my wife's name. And We had mortgage. We just purchased a house an year before. And not that great at financial management, me especially, but my wife is really good at it. And she said, we can hold on. And me, on the other hand, I frequented more kneeling on my knees and praying. So I was like, God, my bills are coming up. What do you want me to do? And I got to pay this. What do you want me to do? But then again, there was this bonus that my wife would get. Not until the next Feb or next March. There was this full pay, the tax returns that we would get, but not until July end. So nothing was happening in March. And we were like, we want it now. Not in March, not in July, not next year. But guess what? It was all delayed, 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 delayed. But through the lockdown, God also reminded me, aren't you saving? Okay. What is that? What am I saving? On your public transport, you're not traveling to work anymore. Ah, that's a tick. How much am I saving? And then he goes, you're not going out that much to eat outside food anymore. So you're basically cooking at home. That's some savings. Yes, that's some savings. So I started looking at it in a different perspective of what I have today. My perception towards the things that I do not have and things that I want has started changing. Can you see where I'm coming from? So now I started looking at, okay, what is God doing right now? I know what I want tomorrow. I know what I want from God. I know what God needs to do. That's really funny when you think what God needs to do. He knows very well what he needs to do. But then again, my carnal mindset kicks in saying, okay, now look at what I have at the moment. Now I started ticking off all those boxes and I'm saving quite a bit. My expenses have not gone that high. So at the end of the day, I waited and waited. Finally, the tax returns have kicked in. The bonuses have kicked in. And everything kicked in this February, this year, Feb. So that's like close to an year after everything. And finally, my wife's pay has increased and God's blessed us. You know, that's not the testimony that I'm going to share. But anyway, there is something out of this. What I was going to say is, out of all these, we have not been to India for close to 2.5 years. So I've not seen my mother close to 2.5 years. The last time I saw is on my dad's funeral. And it aches when you think of, you know, the Mother's Day coming up, people giving presents to each other, and then you have Women's Day coming up. I don't have the first woman in my life right next to me. So there are things that I was missing. Then I need finances to go to India, you know. I need money to go to India. God stored all of those, kept me in isolation, saved a lot, then got me bonus, then got me the tax returns, all kicked in. I booked a ticket to India. I'm going on April 6th. Hallelujah. So the thing is, why God is doing what he's doing right now may not make sense to us right now. Wait to the end. You may understand what he's doing, why he's doing so. Let's have a look at the scripture, in fact. I'm going to talk about one particular story. We'll stick to that one. Not too many references today. Book of John, chapter 11, verse 1 to 16, or 46. 46 verses. Now, we're not going to discuss all those 46 verses. We're just going to stick to few scriptures here. The scripture 5 to 7, let's have a look at it. John chapter 11, 5 to 7. Now, that was something that was prophesied by Peter as well. I was having a discussion today in the morning, and Peter just said, oh, you know Lazarus' story, 2 days delay. I'm like, okay, Peter, how do you know what I prepared for today? Peter knows it. Okay. Scripture 5 to 7, it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now Jesus loved these three people, Martha, her sister Mary, and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. So my question is, if you love somebody so much and you know that he is sick, how did you think in your heart to stay 2 more days knowing what's going to happen if you don't go there today? I'm like, why 2 more days? Now, you love somebody and you know that they're not well. The first thing that you do is just pick up your phone, make a phone call, and do something about it, right? You just don't sit there And I love him so much. But you know what? I've just ordered my pasta in the afternoon. Let me have that first and think about it tomorrow. Why did Jesus spend those 2 days? Why did he delay those 2 days? What was he thinking? And let me not ask you all to see what Jesus was thinking, but let us for an instant, for a second, go and tap the minds of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. What was going through the minds of these three people? Have they served the Lord persistently, consistently? Yes. Have they hosted the Lord and his disciples majority of the time? Yes. Most of the time, yes. And were they wealthy? Yes. To a certain extent, because Bible says that Martha, in fact, used the most expensive perfume ever during that time to wash the feet of Jesus with her own hair. How did she get this perfume? Obviously, could not have been gifted by somebody. I don't know. Moderately wealthy people, my understanding says, to host the entire 12 disciples, and it was more, not exactly 12. More people would have followed Jesus wherever he would have gone. So technically, hosted. They were very good friends. And when Jesus, Bible says there is only one verse, very small verse, I think, if I'm not wrong. Book of John chapter 11 verse 35, it says Jesus wept. Simple. That is the shortest verse. Jesus wept. So my question is, if I provide to somebody, and if I host somebody, and if I am good friends with somebody, my expectation from that person, to a certain extent, is that they would come to my rescue when I am in desperate need. They send the word to Jesus saying, your loved one is sick. A few scriptures before, if we go through, it says Martha's messenger, or Mary, Martha, Lazarus's messenger, came to Jesus when he was at a different place. And he was advised, your loved one is sick. They know how much Jesus loved Lazarus, so they took that liberty of saying, your loved one is sick, bro. You need to be here, like right now. You need to start immediately. Well, Jesus decides, I might stay 2 more days. I love this weather. It's good here. It's in Queensland, it's sunshine. In Perth, it's tropical. It's beautiful weather here. Melbourne, I might just 2 more days. What would go through me? I'm in need. I've hosted you and your disciples and the people who followed you all these years, and I've washed your feet with the most expensive perfume that I could ever get. I could not afford to use the perfume for myself, but I did for you. I've given up everything that was dear and near to me. What did you do? Why didn't you come to my rescue? Was Lazarus alive when Jesus came? No. You know what the Bible says? Apparently when Jesus came, Lazarus was already dead for 4 days. Where was he? He was inside the tomb. Now, Jewish culture is that they say, this is Jewish culture, right? Not I say, Jewish culture. And in their traditions, it is said that they believe is that the soul lingers around the body for 3 days and shall not depart until the 3 days have passed. If Jesus had come on the day, then the Jews would have thought there is nothing like resurrection. The soul just decided to come back into the body. If he had come on the same day, his disciples may not be ready to view. So he gathered as many disciples as possible. He waited for as many witnesses as possible. Now underline this particular word, witness. He gathered as many witnesses as possible. He let as many people as possible. And then finally he said, I'll tell you exactly what he said. It's not there. Ah, good. So the thing is, why delay? This is the delay. So he held them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, in verse 15 it says, for your sake I am glad I was not there, that you may believe. He said to his disciples, apparently, I'm glad that I was not there for your sake, because if you come with me now, let's go. 2 days passed, let's go now. And now when I do the resurrection, you will witness and you will know, you will see, and God will be glorified. Amen. So there were reasons why he did what he did not do on day one. Your timing and my timing may see and may assume, may occur to us like we need it now, right now. This is it. There is no further delay. Please don't delay that. Come right now. That's not the case. For Jesus, he had his own reasons. His only agenda was to glorify God. Jesus' only agenda was to glorify God. Verse 42, it also says, I knew that you always hear me. This is Jesus thanking God. Jesus thanking God. He said, I knew that you would always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of people standing here, that they may believe that you have sent me. How cool is that? That people would believe that Jesus was sent by God, and when people witnessed this resurrection of Lazarus, how many people were gathered there? Apparently, Jerusalem wasn't that far. And where were these people living? Lazarus, Martha, Mary, they were citizens of Bethany. Am I right? Citizens of Bethany. And then Jerusalem wasn't very far, so they had plenty of relatives. They've hosted many people in the past. If they've hosted Jesus and his disciples, likely the chances are they've hosted other synagogues, other congregations, other rabbis, other teachers as well. They were good at hosting. So many people, apparently, many Jews came to visit. And some of them, they asked, isn't Jesus here? Why couldn't he stop him from dying at the first place? These are the things that happen in your life. The people around you would talk about your situation. Like, let's say when I told a couple of my mates that, please uphold in the prayers. And some do diligently. Some question more than I question. They get into my shoes and say, oh, why is God doing this to you? Why is God dealing this? I'm not thinking that way, by the way. But you're thinking way too much. And the thing is, the main core point in here is to understand what was going through the minds of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Lazarus would have thought, good Lord, he's my friend. I don't know whether he's really my friend. He didn't come. He passed away. Now, his sisters, Mary and Martha. Mary would have thought, man, I should have never cooked anything for these people. Martha would have thought, why did I actually wash his feet and whatnot for? I sent messenger as well. He didn't turn up. And finally, my brother is dead. And when they came to meet Jesus, they apparently said to Jesus, Lord, if you were here, my brother would not have died. If you were here, my brother would not have died. That was their expectation. That was their expectation is shattered. It's gone to rags. Now, the biggest thing is it is delayed but not denied. That is one point we learn out of this. It has been delayed. Lazarus' resurrection is delayed, but it is not denied. He is resurrected. Other facts. The distance between Bethany And Bethabara is apparently where Jesus was when this news broke about Lazarus' sickness. The place, the distance is around about 15 to 20 miles apparently, and it takes a day's journey. And Jesus, Bible says, he came only 2 days after. So technically, you know, Lazarus would have died on the day when the messenger broke the news. Lazarus would have already died there. You know what I mean? So if Jesus had rushed straight away to raise him, I don't know how many witnesses would have been there to witness what he was doing. And where was glory to God in that? Now he also needed to think about Jews, right? Their culture, their traditions say that the soul would linger around the body for about 3 days and whatnot, and what would happen? The soul would have just returned back to body and there you go. So technically that is not a big thing for Jews. Whatever Jesus was doing may not have been a big thing for Jews at all. So technically Jesus had to think about them as well. Now the biggest challenge for me was thinking about your faith when it is tested at situations like this. You know, what is the definition of faith, by the way? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Yeah. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The thing is, with faith, the hope and faith, they go hand in glove. You have faith, but you don't hope for anything. Why do you have faith? A question mark. You have hope, but you do not have faith. Why are you hoping then? Question mark. They go hand in glove. So faith is a substance for what we hope for. You know what I mean? So don't hope something will happen in your life, but without faith. All right? You got to have faith to hope for, right? And don't say, I have faith, but you do not hope for anything at all, then what is the use of the faith that you have that in your pocket? What is the use of it? You see, they are hand in glove. So this is the faith and hope that Martha exercised, saying, God, 21, verse 21, if we go through, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been in here, my brother would not have died. By I know that even now, God will give you what you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will raise again. Martha said, I know he will raise again in the resurrection at the last day. But Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And the one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe in this? And yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. The whole summary of the scriptures is hidden in 22. It says, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Even now. It's never too late for God. Lazarus has passed away. Once a person passes away, your hope diminishes. It just vanishes. What is the point of having hope when a person has already passed away? Why are you still nagging Jesus when he's passed away? But Martha knows who Jesus was. Martha acknowledges him. Martha recognized him. And Martha now says, even now it is not too late. We know even now if you ask your God, he will give anything that you ask. Well, good on you. If I ask, God will give. Good on you. Do you believe? If you believe, can you ask? Why can't you ask? You know what I mean? Don't lose your hope because things have not happened the way that you wanted them to happen. Perceived the way that I wanted things to happen in my life have never occurred. You know, pastoral credentials. I've been on provisional ministerial credentials for last 5 years and the longest provisional ministerial credentials person ever in ACC's history. Because the first time that I walked in, my dad, it was like May 15th, I think. My wife's father passed away around about that time frame, so we had to rush to India. There was we had another slot available in October. My dad passed away in October, so I missed that again. I had to go and attend pastoral care conference in Encompass Church. I missed it out. So two times in a row, I missed it out. I was thinking, God, you don't want to give me these ministerial credentials. That's fine. But why do you want me to then continue being on provisional ministerial credentials? If you want me to, then convert it, isn't it? Right? Just convert it because I'm eligible now. Why are you delaying it? And then he goes, okay, the next year, lockdown. Everything was canceled. That was for 2 years. I was like, God, why are you doing this to me? What are you doing? I mean, it's just a card. You know, it's nothing for you. Give it. And then he goes, then what happened? Jonathan was born. And finally, I managed somehow, even when he was a small baby, I told my wife, now I'm going to do it regardless. I'm going to do it. So I went and finished it. I got all my, degrees and everything. Now finally, I applied for provisional ministerial credentials. Where is your church? Bristow Christian Church. I don't have the Bristow Christian Church. It's merged with Arise Church at the moment. And we are all part of Arise congregation for now until what God opens the door at the right time, in his opportune time. So I'm just waiting again. And then I contact my pastor, Pastor Dwayne. Pastor Dwayne, I'm eligible now. They've sent me a letter. Can I fill it in and send it back to them? He goes, what's the point? Why do you need it? All these years, yeah, why do I need it now? I'm still preaching. I'm still doing what God wants me to do. I'm still being invited. And Pastor John never complained about my provisionals or ordained. So, why? The thing is, I don't know why he's delaying. I don't know what God planned behind it. But one thing I know for sure is if I have faith and if I hope for that will happen sometime tomorrow, day after tomorrow, but I know God's timing is perfect timing. That if it happens on the day when it happens, I wouldn't have any regrets about it. Easy? How did they exercise their faith? I believe that you are the Messiah. The five things that I've noted, they didn't lose their faith or hope. They hoped for healing. Jesus meant resurrection. They just hoped for healing. Jesus was planning for much bigger event in their lives. How cool it would be if my dad is resurrected. When I tell Jesus, you know, my dad's leg gonna get amputated. Can't you just save his leg? No, Jesus didn't do it. Jesus, everybody's saying that he's got only 5 days to live. Jesus didn't do it. I know he's going to get resurrected on the day when Jesus comes back. Dad will be one of them. And I'd see him again. This is the hope that we have in Jesus. There is no other God who gives hope like Jesus does. There is none like him. He's incomparable. That is the beauty of him. They believed, Jesus and Martha believed that it was not too late. Their faith and belief in Jesus was unwavering. The foundation, remember, Martha was sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to the rabbi, what his teachings were. And that got sunk into her heart and her faith level just increased exponentially. And she was the one who met Jesus and said, I know who you are because I heard you teach who you are. I know what you are capable of because I've seen what you have done in the past. Then why forget it today? If something is being delayed in your lives, let me tell you guys something. We might be disappointed in our own life sometimes. Sometimes we might be thinking, I walked my life in faith and very close to the church. Why aren't my children? Where is my hope, God? You might be thinking, all right, I've done everything that I could to sacrifice my life for my children, but why isn't my relationship that great today? Where have I gone wrong? You might be thinking many things, and there are areas where you would lose your hope and you probably are hopeless today. Let me remind you one thing. The hope that you hope for, if you place it at the right spot, which is Christ, you will not go wrong. Because he's the one who said that he would comfort you, isn't it? He's the one that said, I will not leave you as orphans. Didn't he say that? What did he say? That he would send you his spirit, who would be your teacher, guide, companion, whatever role that you can think of in your mind, he is capable of handling those roles. Don't you think? When you walk out of these doors, what you need to do is just not carry that companionship, but remember the word that I said, witness. Witness, church. Witness. You know the very reason why Jesus delayed the resurrection of Lazarus? So people could witness. People could see that his disciples could see that everyone who witnesses this resurrection will also believe when Jesus is put on the cross, when he is crucified, down the track, 3 days, he would also be resurrected. Because God has demonstrated such power, 4 days down the track, Jesus, very easy because it's only 3 days. Awesome. Mind you, this is one of the last greatest miracles ever recorded before he was crucified. He didn't do a simple thing. He resurrected a dead person who was past 4 days now. And when Jesus asked Martha and Mary to move the stone, you know what the answer was? It's been 4 days, Lord. Could be stench inside. Could be stinking inside. But Jesus said, do you not remember what I said? You believe and you will see the glory of God. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. You believe, church. Beyond your hopeless situation, you believe. Have faith beyond your existing circumstances. Whatever you're going through, whatever that is running through your mind, your God is capable of turning that into joy. Your mourning will be turned into joy. As sure as Bible says, as sure as the day goes away, as the light comes back, surely will the Lord turn your mourning into your joy. He would change everything. He is capable, isn't it? It is not too late. Verse 22, what does it say? But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. That's the beauty of it. That is the beauty of it. Being a Christian does not mean whatever we will never go through any storm, that we will never go through any storm. Being a Christian doesn't promise you that you will not go through any storm at all. You will all go through storms. I've had mine and I loved them. No, I'm just joking. I never loved them. But they were really worth it. The person who is experiencing the storm may not love it much, but when he comes out of the storm, he will testify that it was worth it. When situations enter into your life that are bigger than your capacity to handle, take it to the Lord to prayer. When you pray, remember that you are not sending breaking news to God. God knows what's happening in your life. Yeah? Like a reporter on the front lines, he knows everything that has and will ever happen to you. When he permits to enter the arena of our lives, he has purpose wrapped up in. He has purpose in every situation and every circumstance. All that has happened in my past, now I am strong, now I know that my God is more than capable of doing what I ask him to do. And beyond my circumstances, he knows how to bend and twist and change it for my own good. Now my faith has only developed with those situations. And that is the only way to increase the level of your faith, church, to go through and experience those storms for yourself. So ask God. Sometimes it is good to ask God, God, it's been too quiet and too calm these days. Bring in a small storm and teach me how to increase the level of my faith. Confronting. There's an absolute silence. I don't want that storm. I'm happy the way that I am. Whatever he permits to enter, yeah. His timing is not our timing. Remember that. His timing is not our timing. Never give up on God, no matter how grim the situations may seem. His answer may now be now, but never no. His answer may seem not now, but his answer was never a no. Amen? Delay does not mean denial. God will never go back on his words. Some people will be blessed by the testimony you have and the storms that you have endured. If you are going through a storm, remember, this is the word that I've been practicing and claiming upon myself. Whatever situation that I go through, I always say the same thing. There is a testimony in the making. Let us say together, the storms that I am going through, the Lord is making a testimony out of it. Amen. Every storm that is going through in your life, there is a testimony in the making. Remember that. But now just don't be quiet. Don't just sit there. Don't just experience the storm and don't be joyful for yourself. Share it with others. When you go out of these doors, witness what you have witnessed. Go and share this to the hopeless world out there. The world out there is right now living in absolute hopelessness. There is war. There is increase in fuel prices. And my car is doing hopeless at the moment. So I need a lot of prayer saying, God, do something about this car. Change it. Or increase the fuel efficiency. Do something about it. So there is hopelessness in every single situation that you go through. There could be hopelessness in your relationships. Could be hopelessness in your life. Could be through your jobs. Could be through the circumstances that you're going through. Maybe finances. I don't know. Whatever it is. There is a testimony in the making. When you testify, go and witness to others. The world out there needs the light that is inside every one of you. And the light that Jesus has lit cannot be hidden. Don't try to hide it. When you walk out, witness. Tell them that Jesus has cured me of cancer. He can do mighty and powerful things in your life. You just are coughing, which is okay. I had cancer. And I'm here. He's cured me. You just have fever. You know what I mean? How about we pray? How about we pray for that level of faith that Martha, Mary, and Lazarus have exercised? Beyond what was running through their brain. They would have thought, okay, Jesus was not their friend anymore. Jesus would have forgotten. It's been 2 days. Maybe he just went off his mind. He has many things to do. He's too busy for us. No. He's got time for you. His timing is perfect. That is the point. How about we pray? Father, we thank you, Jesus, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your grace in abundance, provision, for your protection, for all the kindness that you have shown towards us, Lord. I thank you. We thank you, Jesus, for it. Jesus, we also thank you, God, for one of your last miracles resonates with what was going to happen in coming days to you. That people would see this resurrection, they would believe that you would be resurrected. People would witness this, would also testify about you. And the Lord, without a purpose, you wouldn't let anything happen. And God, we believe that what we are going through, you have a purpose out of it. As we proclaimed, Lord Father, our own mouths, we said that every storm that we're going through, a testimony is in the making. And the Lord, we firmly believe, we have faith in it, that you would be doing it. You are capable of doing it, Lord. We trust and submit and surrender ourselves into your wonderful, capable hands. And we pray, Father, that you take hold of our situations, take hold of our circumstances. Even as we speak into those circumstances, O Lord God, in Jesus' name, you turn our mourning into joy, Lord Father. Those who are hopeless in the situation, O Lord God, we pray for hope in their life. We pray, Lord Father, for faith, the level of faith to increase in their life, Lord Father. We pray for your perseverance, O Lord Father, over their lives, O Lord God. God, we pray for your consistency in their lives, Lord Father. God, if we are too quiet, if the lives are too quiet, Lord Father, teach us so we can go and testify to others, Lord. But God, when we walk out of these doors, you open those doors of opportunities and you open those hearts, Lord Father, who should receive. And God, direct us in that direction. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, church. God bless you all.